Hey there, One Pride Nation. This is Zach.
And Brendan.
And we are
Lions Basement Banter.
It's free agency week in the NFL, and I think there's a whole lot of moves happening both in Detroit and outside of Detroit. We are going to cover as many of those as we can today. And so let's get started. Today we'll start with actually talking about the PFF top 101 players. And how many did we get, Brendan?
We got 8 for the Lions.
Nice. All right. So let's just go down the list, and then I'll just see if you have any surprises that are in or out of this list, okay? 84 was Brian Branch. We had Jared Goff at 83. We had Sam Laporta at 79. Aleem McNeil at 78, Frank Ragnow 25, Hutch was at 17, Amon-Ra was at 15, Sewell was 10. Do you have any surprises that made that list or where they ended up on that list?
No, I don't think any of them are a surprise that they made the list. I think I have more of surprise. I guess I'm surprised Branch made the list just because he did miss a little bit of time. And I don't know. He's good. I'm not denying that. I just don't know if his production earned him a top 101 player.
Yeah, no, I feel you on that for sure. I definitely agree. I thought maybe he was just outside of the top 101, honestly. I would say probably like top 150-ish.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also based, I feel like you're basing even that on potential at that point. But the one that surprised me, honestly, was a Aleem McNeil, and that's not to take anything away from him. I just was surprised because of the way that they struggled on the line. I was just surprised to see him, I guess, hit that top 101.
Well, I'm not sure what his pass rush grade was from PFF, but his run grade was extremely high. He was a top 10. I think he was number 8 he finished the year at against the run in PFF's rankings. So he's gonna earn stuff just for that. But it didn't surprise me to see him on there at all. I think I would have been surprised if he was higher than he was, but I think he deserves to be there.
Okay. You mentioned the run stop, and we'll touch on this a little bit, but we got even better in the run game this year. So
for sure.
I'm excited. I'm so excited. But all right. Any surprises on omissions?
Well, I think looking here, I think you and I are probably going to hit the same area here as our run game. I'm surprised at least one of those backs didn't make the list. Gibbs, I can see maybe missing because, again, he missed some time and it took him a while to really get integrated into the offense and have the explosiveness and burst on a consistent basis. Sorry. But Monty, I think, is more surprising. I know, again, I'm going to say he missed a little bit of time.
Yeah.
But he was so dominant all season long. He was just reliable. I'm surprised he didn't get in that list somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, Monty was plus 10 touchdowns, 1,000 yards plus. I think he should have been there. Gibbs, honestly, the way I would say it for Gibbs is I feel like if Brian Branch made it, Gibbs should have made it because I feel like Gibbs is the equal part of what Brian Branch was on the offense. He's got a ton of potential. He missed a little bit of time, and he was good when he was in there. To me, as a rookie, both of them, I think it was kind of he's the mirror image of Branch on the offense.
Yeah, so I think I could easily swap out Gibbs with Branch, and I'd be fine with it.
Yeah. All right. So that's kind of what we had there. The next topic I want to touch on before we move into actual free agency is a pretty cool, we are in the presence of royalty in Detroit, I guess. Jalen Reeves Maven is the NFLPA president this year. So that's pretty cool. Just wanted to shout out and congratulate him a little bit there. So
yeah, well deserved.
For sure. And I don't know. I mean, I know that he's a pretty solid teammate and he's obviously a captain and stuff, but he must obviously have a really good head on his shoulders and be a pretty smart individual. So that's pretty cool. That's good for him. And good for Detroit too. So
for sure.
All right, let's move on to the main event here. And we're going to touch on some of the Lions free agency moves. Some re-signings happened, which I think some of them are going to make us pretty happy. And then we also picked some up that are going to make us pretty happy as well. So let's get right into it.
Okay. So, I mean, we can start off with some guys that stayed home. We've got, I'll start with like the some of the lesser known guys or guys that weren't as big impact. We got Zonovan Knight, running back. He re-signed a one-year deal worth $985,000. Obviously, he had that AC shoulder joint injury that ended his season on in October. But
I think we both talked it would be nice to have him back.
It's a good depth piece, and he's young.
Yep, I think we've touched on that one.
Yeah, and then we've got Dan Skipper. He's coming back on a one-year deal.
Hey, man, I thought you said you were going to mention the lesser people.
Hey, Dan Skipper is not a lesser, but you know he's not a starter. He's that guy they put in as the jumbo package.
All I'm saying is this time he will for sure report to practice.
For sure. He's reporting to sign.
He's reporting.
Sure. Right. We've got James Houston, whose contract was tenured, so he'll be back with the Lions next season.
That's a big one.
We've got, for sure. He's the potential match for Hutchinson in the pass rush on the other side.
It's going to be nice.
As long as he continues to progress and stays healthy.
Yep.
Khalil Dorsey, cornerback / special teamers guy, is coming back. We got long snapper Scott Daly back.
Yep, that broke today, so that's pretty cool. Honestly, I mean, that's not a very sexy position, long snapper. You probably could have gone out and gotten anybody, but he was good for us, and it's good to have him back.
Yep. So. And then, of course, we talk about, we already had all the guys. If you listen to our podcast from last week, we'll hit on some of the other guys like Shane Zylstra and Brock Wright.
Yep,
Sure. But the big one is Graham Glasgow. Earning the contract of a three-year, $20 million contract with $9.5 million guaranteed. Big contract, well-deserved, I think. He was the priority over Jonah Jackson for sure.
Yeah, I think so too. And Jonah went pretty quick, honestly, in free agency. I think he was day one. I believe he was ready to go to the Rams immediately. So
he was getting that first big contract of his career, and well deserved. We just
do not blame him.
We couldn't at all. We couldn't dish out that kind of money for somebody who was dominant but not healthy all the time.
We prioritized our money elsewhere, and we'll get into that, but I'm very happy with where we've been prioritizing our money. So one thing I wanted to touch on with Graham Glasgow coming back is I want to play a clip for you guys. This guy is one of the funniest guys on the team. He's gotta be. So we'll play this clip right here.
Are you surprised that you're gonna have Ben Johnson and Hank back as well? I mean, at the end of the season, did you think that was likely?
I thought there was a chance that Ben could leave, and if Ben left, maybe Hank would leave. But I think that after talking to him, I thought that definitely he was going to leave, probably like before we played that game. And I feel like kind of the same reason that I had just talked about, like when you lose a game like that and you, you know, you have a chance to win and you definitely want, as I said, another crack at it. And I feel like Ben felt the same way. And I guess we're all back. You know, not to say that, you know, Hank, Ben, and Graham, we're all back. Yeah. But, I mean, I think you understand what I'm getting at, so.
And as you can see that, he's just a funny guy. I don't know. I really like him. He's a good player. Seems to have a good head on his shoulders, and he's a tough dude.
So. He's just got that dry sense of humor. Like
he does.
I love the funniest thing I've ever seen was him on Halloween walking into the Lions facility as an emo guy.
Yes.
That was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
You want to know the funny thing? Like I was scrolling through X, like I think it was right after that happened. And obviously I know some of them are coming in dressed and stuff. And I'm like, who is that guy? Cause I'm just like, I zoomed in and I'm like, oh my, gotta be kidding me. That's Michigan man, Graham Glasgow there. So
he's funny.
Happy to have him back.
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit that contract. It's really good for the Lions because what it does is it gives Graham the raise that he needed to stay and to, you know, align with what he's done for this team. But it also gives us flexibility near the end of his contract because essentially we're going to have almost, I'm not going to call it avoidable year, but essentially at the end of his contract, we're going to be able to make the decision to move on from him if we need to without it hurting us cap-wise.
It's pretty close to avoidable. Yeah, there might be some dead cap space there if we do that. But, yeah, I'm just wowed again this season by what they're doing. Honestly, I don't know. We've talked about the struggles of Brad Holmes possibly with the free agency, and I just really feel like he's doing it right this year. We'll see. I could be wrong, but I'm excited. So let's get into some of the players that we've picked up.
Yeah. So start off, we've got a familiar face for Brad Holmes, or not Brad Holmes, sorry, Dan Campbell and AG, bringing back Marcus Davenport, who was a first-round draft selection for the Saints. He played for the Vikings more recently. I think he had like 2.5 sacks or something last season, so he wasn't a huge impact guy, and he struggles with health. So he's a potential good depth piece on the defensive line. But he's getting a lot of work to do if he's going to earn too many meaningful snaps there.
Yeah, I think so too. And I posted on our X page something along the lines of he's a really low with the contract we gave him. He's a really low risk, high reward type person. I don't think he didn't break the bank.
I think it was like somewhere around nine mil or something like that.
Nobody's like super excited to, you know, I'm not downplaying him as a player at all. I'm just saying nobody was like, he wasn't one of the huge names.
He's not
out
a splash
there.
Pick for
right.
sure.
But Brad Holmes went out and got him, and they saw something they liked out of him back, I'm sure, in New Orleans. Dan Campbell did. And I'm sure that they know what they're doing on that one, because they've seen him more than we have. So
not for sure. The next one was actually, we'll talk about the trade because that's probably one of the bigger ones. We did not trade for the cornerback I wanted, which was Legarius Sneed from the Chiefs, but we did trade for what I think they're envisioning as their cornerback one, which is Carlton Davis from Tampa Bay. The deal was really good for them. We gave away our third round pick the third round pick that was originally ours. So the 92nd pick in the draft. And that's all we gave up. But we got Carlton Davis from Tampa Bay. We got their sixth rounder this year and their sixth rounder next year. Of course, that comes with the asterisk that we're taking on his contract, which he's due, I think, 14.5 mil. Because this is the last year on his deal.
Yep. And that was, I mean, that's like a vet minimum or something, right? Isn't that kind of what I was seeing? The other thing I want to point out, and I had it in my notes because I might have read it wrong, but a lot of people are saying that the pick that we traded was the Hockenson pick. Is that not the truth?
It is. It's the one the one we got from the Vikings.
I got you. Okay. What are your thoughts on that trade, I guess? What are you thinking? Because they're going to have to restructure him or do something. I don't think they're going to do that 14 mil this year. I don't think.
I'm going to be honest. Originally, I didn't love it just because I don't think you should ever give up a day two pick for a guy who's on an expiring contract that they were likely going to move anyway. I think,
looking at the back end of 20s and into 30.
The problem is that the Lions don't have what I assumed would be a fair value, which would be a fourth rounder for him. They don't have any fourth rounders this year. So they would have had to lowball them with a fifth, which means they probably wouldn't have gotten those draft selections back.
Yep.
So there was a little bit of, you know, give and take there.
Do you think
I like Carlton Davis as a player.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. I mean, he helped win a Super Bowl. And I mean, if you watch his tape, and he even said this in a couple of his clips there, but if you watch his tape, he's shutting down, you know, big names. You know, when Michael Thomas was healthy, he shut him down. When, you know, who else can we get? CD Lamb, Jamar Chase. Yeah, he's done it. So the film's there. Do you think that it was a reach to grab him with what we did?
If what I'm hearing is correct and Legarius Sneed is available for a third round pick, I would have much rather made that move. But okay. I can see
I'm not trying to coax you into getting mad. I'm just asking.
No. It's very Brad Holmes kind of move there, because essentially what he's doing is he's making a low risk trade that he can get out of next year and still have assets that he got to get other young players. So it's very Brad Holmes. Whereas if you did a Legarius Sneed, it's probably going to be a straight up third for him, and then you have to pay LeJarrius a monster contract to stay. Yep. Carlton Davis isn't demanding a contract extension. He's going to play out this year and see what happens.
Right, for sure. So let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. The next we went out and got another cornerback.
Yeah.
Okay. Amik Robertson.
Good job. You pronounced his name right.
Okay, so we're going to play this game. Gosh darn it. All right, so I'm making my notes. Brendan and I share notes every week. I set up a Google Doc or whatever, and we go through and we set up notes. And I copied and pasted as soon as he was available, and we knew that we signed him. I copied and pasted, and
he tried to put in by copy and paste Amik Robertson's name, and it came through as A-M-I-C, Amis Anderson, last name Anderson.
So you guys can tell I knew all about this guy and was super excited about him.
No, well, moving off of your mistake there, but he's the only, I don't know much about Amik Robertson. What I do know is that he's more of a nickel guy, slot guy, so he's probably going to share reps with Brian Branch there.
Okay.
But one play that I remember vividly is he played for the Raiders previously, and they played the Packers. And it's probably the image you can find most commonly if you search his name, but Christian Watson was going up for a touchdown catch, high pointing it in the end zone, and Amik Robertson was in coverage and was lagging about a step behind. Somehow reached up and tipped the ball and knocked it out of a sure touchdown catch away from Christian Watson. So he's got athleticism and he's got speed for sure.
And he's got big playability.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did that, I guess what I was getting at before you called me out for something nobody would have ever seen. does that soften the blow for that trade on with Tampa?
Honestly, I like that they're getting depth. But I don't think Amik Robertson's going to be a huge impact player. I could be wrong, but if he's sharing reps in that corner, in that slot corner spot, I still think they need to add another outside corner. I don't think they're strong enough at that position. Cam Sutton could be good as a cornerback too, but I'm not trusting it.
So as we speak, or maybe even like it's already done, and maybe we're missing out on some news. As we speak, we've got another cornerback in Detroit meeting. You want to touch on that one?
Yeah, we got today Tavier Thomas was visiting the Lions. He's a Detroit native. Went to Ferris State, where I also graduated from, and I remember watching him play on those teams. I can't remember for sure, but I think he might have won a national championship as a Ferris Bulldog, but
I do feel bad that mom and dad let you go to a poverty school like that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sure. Poverty, but we own Grand Valley for the last 10 years.
Yeah, whatever. But, that's true, actually.
No, he was a good player, and, you know, I will always, you know, pound the table for a Ferris Bulldog. I would love to see the Lions somehow squeeze Zach Zeeler away from the Miami Dolphins.
Ooh, man,
on the
that's
interior line. That guy is a monster.
That's
for
not
being
happening.
A Division II guy.
So Thomas, if we were to find out that we signed Thomas today, how does that make you feel about cornerback? Are we still rough?
Again, Tavier is a good player, and he'll probably be a rotational guy,
which
is what he was in Houston. But he's a good player, and he'll contribute on special teams as well.
Okay.
I still think you need to add a star in the draft, maybe, but you need to spend some capital to get a outside guy.
Okay. Let's stay in the secondary for a second. I just want to ask you a couple questions here. Mm-hmm. First of all, LeJarrius Sneed's still out there as of right now, as far as I know. He has not been dealt. We've got another third round pick sitting there this year. What do you think about it? Is it worth the trade at this point with what we've done, or no?
I wouldn't hate it. Like, I don't think Brad Holmes does it, because that's not Brad Holmes' thing. He's not going to give away draft capital like that. The thing that I'm thinking is, I just saw that Patrick Mahomes restructured his contract and dished out, or basically freed up a bunch of cap space. So I don't know if I'm ruling it out that they're gonna keep him.
Okay, that would suck.
Because he hasn't formally, unless I am remembering incorrectly, he hasn't requested a trade.
No.
They just have, it's been reported that he's available because they don't want to pay him the
they
kind
re-signed
of money
Chris Jones.
Demand.
Yeah, they weren't going to be able to afford him realistically.
Yeah, but now seeing that Patrick Mahomes is restructured to give them, I think it was like upwards of 20 mil in cap space or something like that, he restructured.
Yeah, something just crossed my mind while we were talking about people and wanting trades and requesting trades and stuff. And we'll touch on the Vikings pretty quick here. Actually, in our that was random, we will, but I just wanted to shout out to whoever did the completely dreaming pie in the sky picture of Jay Jettas in a Lions jersey. That looked hella good. I sure wish I could see that for real.
That's not happening.
I know it's not, but I just saw it and I'm like, dude, like okay. Anyway, I digress. So the last signing that I know of up to this point,
the biggest one, probably,
are you talking
quite literally?
There we go. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Mr. DJ Reader out of, Cincy.
Yeah, no, good signing. I think again, and I know I've heard this a lot on X recently, is that Brad Holmes only signs injured or players who have been injured, and I think it's funny, but DJ,
that's actually kind of true.
It is. He has a track record of
doing
it.
I'm sure that was a dig, but it's kind of true.
It is a dig, but DJ Reader is he's dominant when he's on the field. He's had two seasons in recent memory where he's torn a quad on the same leg, so he's gonna be rehabbing from that. But I don't think the Lions sign him if they don't like where he's coming with the rehab portion of that. He's a great run stuffer, though. He's constantly fighting through double teams, which is only going to open up the pass rush for guys like Hutch on the outside and Aleem on the inside.
Yeah, and keep in mind, everybody that's listening to this and has any kind of problem with that signing, honestly, again, another semi-low risk, high reward, again. They paid him a little more, obviously.
Yeah, they paid him 2 years, 27.25 mil with 9 mil guaranteed.
So I mean, 9 mil guaranteed. It's low risk, honestly. It really is. But when he's out there, he's huge, and he's tearing quads for a reason. I mean, the dude's a big dude, and he plays hard. He plays really hard. But one thing I wanted to point out, and I can clip this if we need to, but I don't think we do. Last week, I remember you and I having a conversation about we need somebody in the middle that's going to plug up the gaps and somebody that's going to push that center and essentially close up the center of the pocket. Yeah. Is that guy?
He could be.
When healthy?
Sure. Yeah, he could be. And I think this free agency period has done for me is kind of clarify where we're going in the draft.
I think I'm pretty sure what my mock's going to look like. It's pretty obvious to me right now what I'm going
to
pick.
Well, it's becoming obvious to me that there's three positions that they're going to target heavily, and it's going to be cornerback,
guard,
offensive guard, and edge rusher.
Ooh, see, I was different.
What?
I think that our first three picks are going to be guard, cornerback,
yep,
wide receiver.
I think wide receiver is, I think there's still options out there. The wide receiver market isn't moving very fast in free agency, and that's because nobody's signing wide receivers because the draft is so deep at that position. So you're going to get some guys for relatively cheap because the market's not going to move.
You want to know something that kind of like gives me chills about what Brad Holmes does here? This to me, this season, we'll have to see how these guys play. This season might be what says Brad Holmes can draft really well and Brad Holmes can hold his own in free agency, because the first day of free agency, everybody's like, we need to go out and get that cornerback, trade for Snead. We need to do this. The cornerback market wasn't moving. There was nobody coming off the board. Nobody. But as soon as you started seeing cornerbacks, boom, Brad Holmes, all of a sudden he's got two and he's got another one coming today. It was like, he's just sitting there literally waiting for that first, like, over the top, someone's going to sign somebody that's going to be way too much, and then all of a sudden he's going to come in, swoop in, and get the low-hanging fruit.
Well, that's Brad Holmes' MO. He's awesome. He's just not going to get stuck with a bad contract.
It's awesome.
That's not him. He does not want to be, and, you know, maybe in another few years, I'm going to look like, you know, Brandon Bean from the Bills, but he doesn't want to get stuck in like cap hell, like the Saints or how the Rams were looking. And they've really, credit to them, they've actually turned themselves around and made lemonade out of lemons.
If you turn into Brandon Bean, I just want to throw out there, everybody, you can come back to this podcast. I will have a whole bunch of podcast stuff for sale. You guys can come grab it. Just let me know.
You would probably be kissing the ground that he walks on because he's just been close to Josh Allen.
Okay, yeah, that's true. Never mind.
But it's okay because Josh Allen's going to lose his job pretty soon. He's got Mitch Trubisky coming up.
Josh, oh, dude, you got to do it every single episode. You got to do it every single episode. We're going to have to do like a segment, a Mitch Trubisky segment or something. So, yeah, I will tell you one thing that Josh Allen is going to lose. He's going to lose what I think is going to be a Thanksgiving game to Detroit. That's my thought.
I'm not confident enough to say that. I need to see how things shape up in the off season. But
I know that's another one of those Zach's freezing cold takes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's about it for the guys that the Lions have signed so far. But there is some.
Hold on. Before you go into that, you're right. We're done. But I do want to ask you a question on that before we move on.
What?
So far up to this point, what's your grade for the Lions free agency? Up to this point,
I would give them a B+.
Okay. Wow, that's solid. Honestly, I think after day one, maybe day two, you and I talking, I thought you were going to be way lower on that. Honestly,
no, I think a B plus is fair. I'm not willing to give them an A until I see some more depth signed. I'd like to see a wide receiver added, like we were just talking about, and I think there's some good ones out there. Tyler Boyd is available still. The Cowboys just today cut Michael Gallup, so now he's available.
That would be awesome. Gallup would be awesome. Gallup is so underused and so overqualified for what he's used for in Dallas. I'd be stoked for that one.
Yeah.
But that's the same with Tyler Boyd.
Yeah.
Honestly, if we got a wide receiver, would you bump it up to a wide receiver such as those guys? Would you bump it up to an A or not yet?
I think I would. I think I could put it at an A-. I don't think I'm ready to bump to an A. I think if we move for another corner like Snead or something like that, they automatically vault to an A in my opinion.
Yes. But Snead is an A+ in my opinion. Yeah. Up to this point, get us to an A+.
Yeah, there's just other teams that have had better free agency periods, and I know this. Brad Holmes said it in his presser. You know, he's not looking to win in March.
No, he's filling needs like he said he does in free agency, and then he goes out and gets his studs in the draft. That's what he said he's going to do. That's what he does, and that's what he's done.
Now, so, yeah, quickly to wrap up Lions free agents, we'll talk. You know, we did lose some guys, and you already alluded to that. Jordan Jackson signed a major deal with the Rams, and
yep,
I got some more Ram stuff I'll talk about after this because they're really doing pretty well here in free agency.
They also lost a big one today.
Yep. We'll talk about that. That's one of the ones I'll talk about. Okay. But we also lost CJ, GJ. I know there's mixed feelings on him, but I think it's so funny because he left Philadelphia,
basically got
people like, you know, sending him death threats from Philadelphia fan base. And then CJ GJ himself has just been tearing Eagles fans all season long.
Yep.
He just signed a 3-year deal with the Eagles. He's going to go back. And he basically said, it's all, you know, well, I love Philly. Love you guys, whatever.
Oh, you
and
guys
the
an
fans
apology.
Are like embracing him. And it's like it
you
never
know
happened.
Crazy?
I was like, they will snap your neck as soon as you make a wrong
yep.
move.
You want to know something crazy? So it's Detroit versus everybody, right? CJ GJ. Posted on X something about the Lions fans, and I don't know exactly what it was, but it was something that I was like, are you kidding me? Like, are you serious?
And so he just likes to cause controversy.
He talks. He's just a talker.
And I'm not going to get into this because
good player.
He was a good player for us, and I don't want to be Eagles fans. I don't think we need to be saying good riddance. I see a lot of that on X. Like, the guy played well for us.
Oh, that's
us
weird. I was
going to
clip a Green Day song.
Yeah, get out of here. he was a good player for us, and he didn't get to reach his full potential.
He didn't
with the
get
injury,
a fair shake
so.
In Detroit. He really didn't.
Yeah, no. Good luck to him. I just think it's really funny where he ended up.
Brennan just said good luck and good riddance.
No, I did not.
All right. What else you got?
So that's really it for the Lions that I want to talk about. I know we lost some other pieces. Anthony Pittman signed with the Commanders, and there, I'm sure there's some other ones I'm missing.
I'll throw one out there. Mm-hmm. It's going to hurt really bad to not see Benito Jones walk into the stadium.
DJ Reader's there. That's why Benito Jones is gone. He signed almost instantly after DJ Reader signed with us.
I'm going to tell you, I hope that DJ Reader has a pair of overalls and looks as good without a shirt on as Benito did.
Legendary.
Oh, man.
Benito Jones is like Vince Wilfork Jr.
Yep, it was great. That was perfect.
what I really want to talk about is some other teams around the league, and we'll start just right now, because I was already touching on it, some other teams that had good free agencies. The Rams, their interior offensive line is going to be a force to be reckoned with. Yep. They've got Jonah Jackson, of course, and then they've got that Kevin Dotson, who had a really good year at the other offensive guard, and they're going to move a guard to center in Steve Avila, who was a rookie last year, played really well.
Kyron Williams is licking his chops.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, and they got Havenstein on the right side, who was a stalwart at that tackle. So really their only weak spot on the line is that left tackle, and they could address that in the draft. They've got pick 19, which I don't think they do, because we've got news that just came out today that Aaron Donald has decided to retire.
Yep.
After 9 seasons, I believe.
10.
10 seasons. Yep. Okay.
10 seasons. So he was a Pro Bowler every single season.
Yeah, they've got a huge gap to fill in the middle.
You want to know the only other person that's ever done that for his only 10 seasons in the NFL?
Who?
Barry Sanders.
Mm.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Anyway, go ahead.
No, he's just a legendary player.
Big loss.
It's sad to see him go. He was
huge
loss. Fun to watch, even though if he was playing the Lions, it was not fun to watch.
No,
but
just think, Lions fans, he could have been retiring for us this year. That's all I'm going to say on that.
No, but they did that. And then I also just came through on my phone. They got themselves a new quarterback.
They did.
Jimmy Garoppolo has just signed with the Rams.
That just happened.
Yep. It just came through.
Yep.
So
I saw that on your computer screen.
Yep. So he's in. And then, you know, moving on from the Rams, I think I want to start touching on, so unless you, do you have another team outside of the division you want to touch on?
Not really. There's a lot of division moves.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's do it.
I'm going to be honest with you guys. The teams around us are having really strong off seasons right now.
They are.
The Bears, I was laughing at originally because they signed DeAndre Swift to a 3-year, I think it was, $24 million deal, when they could have, you know, just dished out a little extra money and gotten Saquon, who's probably a better player, more consistent. I don't know what the heck they were thinking there, but
I disagree with you. I want to throw this out there. I disagree.
Okay.
I put the video out there and it's on X. I think back when he was healthy, and this was only 2 years ago or 3 years ago or whatever it was, I think DeAndre Swift was a top 5 running back in the NFL for the Lions, and he was on a tear until he got hurt. And if he can stay healthy, I don't know.
My thing is, he got praised so much in Philly when he had one big game, and then since that one big game, he just consistently lost reps by committee.
But let me just throw something out there, and here we go with some, here comes our basement banter here. Yeah, this is a big one. But to me, Philadelphia imploded from the inside, and nobody on that team stood a chance towards the end of the year. That game in Philly showed me exactly what Swift can still be.
Okay, that's fine, but the implosion did not really affect the offensive line. They still had a strong offensive line.
That's true.
And, you know, even a blind squirrel finds a nut sometimes.
They also have an idiot for a head coach and did the running back by committee and could never figure it out. So,
yeah, and I think that's only going to be the same thing with him with the Bears. They've got Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson, who
are
really good.
I will give you that.
I think they might still have Dante Foreman, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Maybe. I don't know.
But anyway, I just think that was ridiculous. That I was like, that they are going to be look like such idiots.
They overpaid him.
And then they started making more moves.
I will go on record saying that they overpaid him.
Yeah, I think their secondary got way better. You keep Jalen Johnson, you sign Kevin Byard, who was on the Eagles but really got transferred half the way through the season. So I'm not going to judge him based on his performance.
Mm-hmm.
He was an all-pro player with the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, if you do that, you got to do that for some of the players that we just talked about that came to the Lions, so you got to be careful with that for sure.
Yeah,
so.
And then they got Simone Biles' husband.
Yeah, I forgot that movement.
Jonathan Owens is an okay player. I just thought it was funny because no one knows who Jonathan Owens is. They just know, oh my gosh, Simone Biles was at the Packers games.
And she's hugging some guy in a jersey. What the heck? Like,
but
that's messed up, man. You're such a jerk.
Yeah, really, really, I didn't see anything too much that I liked. They got another weapon in Gerald Everett, tight end from the Seahawks.
Yep.
He's not.
I forgot about that one too. Honestly,
great. He's good, but the one move that really was like, are you kidding me? They traded last night, and they got Keenan Allen for a 4th-round pick.
And like I posted on my personal X, go ahead and go follow that. That's Zach Samuels 30. You're going to see some really cold takes on that one. A really cold take that I have is he's going to be really good for them for the first 6 games of the season like he is every year, and then he'll be hurt.
The thing I saw was that if they do indeed draft Caleb Williams, that is going to be a monster pairing because – their skill sets fit each other so well. Caleb Williams is great at finding guys in open space. And
that's Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen is great at just, you elite. Know, changing his route and getting open.
You can use elite there for sure.
So, yes. So that, you know, boo, that sucks.
Okay.
That's all I got to say about that one. I hate
you are on one today, my guy.
And then we'll move to the Green Bay Packers. Really haven't made that many moves. They kept AJ Dillon, and
the surprising one though.
Yeah, the surprising one is they let go of Aaron Jones and then just came out and dished out the same money to Josh Jacobs on a 4-year deal, gave him $48 million with $12.5 million signing bonus, and then he's going to get $14.8 million in his first year there. Aaron Jones was due $12 million.
That to me is first of all, that's bad business on both the player and the and them, because he then went and signed, I guess they were trying to get him down to like $9 million or something, and then I think he went and signed for like 7 or 8 somewhere else. So
yeah. So
to me, that's a step sideways with Josh Jacobs. Yeah. Josh Jacobs is a big name.
He's good. He's going to be good.
Aaron Jones is the spark that sparked that offense.
The other thing though with the Packers is who knows what's going to happen with their offensive line. They've lost some pieces.
Bakhtiari's
gone.
Yep.
You've got Elgton Jenkins, who's a beast, but they lost John Runyon's gone. He signed somewhere else.
Doesn't Jenkins have health troubles sometimes though? Isn't he?
No, he's been pretty consistent. Okay. He got injured this year, I think, but it's kind of a flash in the pan type thing.
Okay.
But they also signed AJ Dillon back for another year, so he'll be the backup there.
Solid backup for a running back.
They got their all-pro corner/return man back. Keyshawn Nixon signed a 3-year, $18 million deal.
Yep.
They got
a safety.
Yeah, good for him. And then they got safety Xavier McKinney from the Giants. That's the other big signing.
That's a big, big one.
4 years, $68 million. He's going to make $25 million in his first year.
Guy I work with, he is a huge Packers fan, and it was really funny because I'm, you know, obviously trying to keep up with all this stuff, and I'm talking to him and I'm like, man, what are you guys going to do at safety? You don't have safety. It was at the end of the day, and we both kind of were walking out to our trucks, and I see him like pumping his fist in the air. I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, we got our safety. And so, yeah, that's how I learned about that one.
Oh, Xavier McKinney's a good player. Admittedly don't know much about him. He really wasn't that good starting out his career, but he had a really big year this year.
Solid player this year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's all I'm going to say about the Packers, because every time I say their name, I vomit in my mouth a little bit. So,
okay.
Moving on to the Vikings. We've got possibly the greatest quarterback move of all time. The Vikings let go of Kirk Cousins and upgraded to Sam Darnold.
Okay. All right. Him and Mitch Trubisky are like brothers or something, right?
I was so sure that the Vikings lost the offseason, right, with that move.
We were laughing.
Sam Darnold on a 1-year deal, good luck. Have fun. Justin Jefferson's going to ask for a trade because he's not going to get the ball. Mm-hmm. Sam Darnold's good sometimes.
Okay. And in practice.
Yeah.
In a red jersey.
So that's real fun. Then they did upgrade at running back. because I was, that's the other thing I was thinking is they let go of Madison, who was, you know, mediocre at best when he was there.
He had flashes, but he was serviceable in that time.
Yeah, but he always capitalized off the fact that everyone was, you know, focusing on Dalvin Cook. And then Dalvin Cook left, and then he sucked as an RB1.
Yep.
They let go of him, and I was like, oh my gosh.
To be honest, I thought they were rolling with Cam Akers. I really did.
No, I really did. Because they have that, I don't remember what his name is. They have another speedy back. He was a young guy. I can't remember what his name was.
But. So was Cam Akers like just a rental and that was it? That's all they were worried about?
So, but I don't know for sure. I don't remember if he's under contract or not.
Okay.
But they signed Aaron Jones away from the Packers after he got released. And Aaron Jones, like you said, funny enough, signed for $7 million on a one-year deal. Yep. So I think almost what that was to me was, he was willing to take less money because now he's going to get to face the Packers twice a year and show them why they should have kept him.
Yeah, he'll have a revenge tour just the same as I'm telling you. I think Swift will have a revenge tour with Detroit, but we'll see. We'll see.
They signed some other lower name, just re-signed some guys. The big one was they signed Jonathan Greenard, an edge from Houston, to a 4-year, $76 million deal. And then they signed edge Andrew Van Ginkel to a 2-year deal on the other side. I don't know if they really upgraded at all. They lost Danielle Hunter and DJ Wanham, who were their rushing stalwarts. duo last year.
Yep.
They lost both of them and they're going to have to restart. Greenard showed great flashes last year for Houston, was really good. He's a young guy too, but he's just not proven.
Yeah. I think he was a scheme fit there though, really. Like I was looking at some of that and I think he was I'm not saying he's gonna like digress or regress, sorry. I'm not saying he's gonna regress, but I think he was a scheme fit in Houston and he might not be as good this year. Yeah. I don't know.
Van Ginkel is kind of, you know, and I'm gonna say the same boat. He's a good player. I don't think he's gonna be a star pass rusher for you though. I don't think he's gonna be that number one guy.
He's a Kyle VandenBosch, like he can do stuff. I think he's not gonna do it all.
Double digit sacks this year, but I just don't.
That surprises me. I didn't know that. That surprises me.
To me, the one thing I'm thinking is both of these guys are linebackers, like more of the linebacker edge type. The outside linebackers are gonna stand up. You're going from
Minnesota doesn't do that though.
No, they've both of Danielle Hunter and Wanham were plant your, you know, hand in the dirt and go kind of guys.
That's surprising. That's a really good take, Brendan. I honestly didn't think about that. That's really good. I didn't think about that at all.
It might be that Brian Flores is changing it more to what he did in Miami because, you know, that's why Van Ginkel probably signed there.
Followed him.
The familiarity there. But that maybe he's changing up their system. I don't know. They also signed linebacker Blake Cashman away from, I think he was with Houston too. Yeah. So 3 years, $25.5 million worth up to that much. I don't know.
I think they just kind of did like a round and round type merry-go-round thing. So.
I was pretty much out on them too. And then they traded again today and they got another first round pick. They traded back into the first round today.
Do you want to know? Yeah, and we were going to hit on that with that was random, but that's really not that random with what we're talking about here. So, go ahead and we're sticking with Minnesota and Houston. Go ahead and tell us what that was.
Yeah. Minnesota traded with Houston. They're moving into the first round again. So they'll pick, I think they're at 11 or 12 or something like that. 11, I think. I think Broncos are 12.
Somewhere in there.
They're picking somewhere just outside the top 10, and now they're also picking at 23rd, so they'll have two first-round picks.
Let me ask you, what do you think they're doing with that? What are they doing?
Well, I can tell you what they like. I think 11's going to be J.J. McCarthy.
You think he's going that? Okay, I think they traded into 23rd to get him. I looked back at my mock draft, too, and obviously that happened, you know, right after the combine, but he was going, like, anywhere from 19 to 29. So,
well, quarterbacks are valued higher, and I think they're going to get nervous with the teams that are picking behind them that they might steal him before, because you've got, you know, the Broncos behind them that need a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Raiders behind them that need a quarterback. You've got the Saints behind them who are going to need a future quarterback. There's several teams. Oh, the Seahawks are back.
Yeah, that's true.
Although they did get Sam Howell, so they're probably banking on him. But
yeah, which Sam Howell can be serviceable for them too, honestly. But you know, I I don't know. I don't think Minnesota did real good. I think they stayed at the bottom of the pack. I'll be honest with you guys. I think this is going to be a three-way race. And to me, I think I'm going to say this and people are going to be surprised, but I think it's going to be a Lions and Bears race at the end this time. I really do. I think the Bears did what they needed to address just like we are. And they got some draft picks this year that are, if they hit on their draft picks, it's going to be scary. That's all I'm saying.
I'm going to be interested to see what they do with nine. I think it's going to probably be an edge rusher, but I'm not sure.
You think so? I thought they were going offense, both picks.
If they go offense there, it's going to be if one of the wide receivers falls. Yep. But I don't see that happening now that Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are both off the Chargers.
You think Harrison is going there?
Yeah, I have a run of three wide receivers going in the top 10 right after another. I think it's going to start at four. You're going to have Harrison going to the Cardinals. Five, I think Malik Nabers probably going to go to the Chargers. And then I think at six, who is that? Sorry, I'm trying to think. Number six wide receiver, though, I have Romo Dunze coming off the board. I think that's to New York, the Giants.
So you think the first few picks, realistically, the first maybe not even first 10, but first six are going to be quarterbacks and wide receivers?
Yeah, the first six is all offense.
Okay.
And it might even continue because I think next up is the Titans at seven, and I think they're going to take offensive tackle there.
Okay.
There's going to be like one or two defensive players in the top 10.
Do you still think Powers Johnson goes where he was, or do you think he falls by any chance? He falls to us at 29.
I think there's a chance, but I have him going mid first round. I think it's going to be a hometown thing. I think he's going to get picked up by Seattle.
Okay.
He's going to stay on the West Coast. They've got a need at guard and center, and he plays both.
Here's a thing for you that I thought about, and then somebody, I actually saw somebody was posting, but it was for the Lions, but I'm not talking for the Lions. If they get to that ninth pick, talking about the Bears, if they get to that ninth pick and Brock Bowers is still there, they still have Cole Kmet. This dude is an absolute, I feel like they could turn him into a wide receiver.
I don't think so. I don't think they would go there just because the signing of Gerald Everett to me makes it seem like that's what they're going to roll with. I don't think they're going to have three athletic tight ends. I don't think there's any point to that.
Yeah, but is there any reason why they go with an athletic tight end that they could, what I'm saying is, turn him into a wide receiver? Then you've got your smaller guys, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and then you've got a converted tight end to wide receiver, Brock Bowers, on the outside.
I just don't see the point. I mean, could they? Yes. I just don't. I think they've got so many weapons now that I don't. You're just going
to
add another weapon.
They need
weapon
to get defense. Okay.
Yeah, you need to go defense or offensive line, I think.
Gotcha. Okay. Circle back to were you done with the Vikings? You good there?
Yeah, no. I was just going to say, I think I'd rank the offseason so far. I think, I don't know, honestly. I think the Lions are one.
Ooh, man. Okay. Go ahead.
I think the Bears are two, the Packers are three, and the Vikings are four.
Okay.
I'm hesitating on the Lions one, but really the only thing the Bears have done that have impressed me is the Keenan Allen trade so far. The rest have been very meh signings to me.
Okay. But I'm just saying, on the outside looking in, I feel like people are saying that about the Lions pickups so far.
Well, yeah, I'm a homer. I'm going to put them first.
Well, I'm a homer, and I'm not putting them first. I'm actually going to put them third right now, as it sits right now.
Okay. Well,
I've got the Bears, then the Packers, then the Lions, then the Vikings.
I appreciate your response, but you're wrong.
Okay, well, thank you very much. That's basically how that always goes.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's pretty much free agency as it sits right now.
Well, here's just, now that we wrapped up the division, tell me if you've looked extensively, do you have any teams that are big winners of the free agency period?
I do, but I don't remember who all it was. So you might have to pick it up. I know you've put a lot of time into a free agency tracker. So I'm definitely going to give you one team, and then you can go ahead and read off why I think that.
I think the team that's won the offseason, the biggest win has been the Houston Texans.
Thank you very much. That's where I was going. Thanks for cutting me off and stealing my thunder there. You asked a question and then cut me off.
They got Joe Mixon trade that essentially they just gave up a seventh round pick this year and got him because he was getting released anyway. They just wanted first dibs.
Yep.
They got him. They re-signed Dalton Schultz. They took a very good interior defender from the Titans and Danico Autry.
That's right.
Yep. They got Danielle Hunter on the edge now yep. to pair with Will Anderson. They essentially replaced Blake Cashman, who was an overachieving linebacker, who I said went to the Vikings. He overachieved in D'Amico Ryan's system. They replaced him with a player that's probably even better than him, with Azeez Al-Shaair, who's mm-hmm. a former 49er, familiar with Ryan's scheme. Whatever. They got some corners that are mid, Jeff Okudah being one of those. But then they got their kicker back.
Imagine being a Lions fan and wanting to bring him back.
Their defense got so much better, and Devin Singletary was good for them, but he again was an overachieving guy at that position. He's not going to play to that level every time. Joe Mixon is a star at running back.
Yes. Joe Mixon is that's a major upgrade.
Yeah. I think well, now they're not picking in the first round, but I think they're
Lions and Texans.
I think they invest some stuff into the offensive line a little bit, and maybe get some more secondary pieces, and they're going to be winning that division for years to come.
Yes. For years to come, yes. But there are sophomore slumps, and it's possible that CJ Stroud sees that.
I mean, it's possible, yes, but oh my gosh.
Dude. There's no reason to believe that
I've never seen a rookie play like that at quarterback, ever.
It hurts my heart so much to say that about an Ohio State guy, but yes, he played amazing. Fantastic.
I think the only rookies you can put up there that played like that in their first year is like maybe, you know, RG3 had a pretty good rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Luck was a really good young guy, but I just haven't seen somebody
pure dominance
be a borderline MVP candidate,
yeah.
You know, in yep. his first season.
Yeah, save my fantasy. Season. So.
Yeah. No, so I think definitely I would put them up there. I there's some other ones that made some good signings, but they weren't like major. I think I'll say the Philadelphia Eagles, I think, made some good moves.
Why? They always do that, man, and then they still don't win.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, getting Saquon was good for them, although last time they signed an interdivisional star running back didn't really turn out the best for them, if you remember that. One DeMarco Murray.
Ah, yes.
From the Dallas Cowboys went to yes. Philly, had an awful, awful season and just ended up out of there. But, no, I think the only thing the Texans really need to do now is offensive line, secondary, and add another weapon so that you've got Tank Dell and, can't think of his name. Who's the Michigan man on their wide receiver?
Nico Collins.
Yeah, Nico Collins and Tank Dell. And you've got Dalton Schultz. You add another wide receiver there, either in the draft or a cheap free agent. They're going to look really good.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're going to be really good. So, I would say yes. The Texans, out of the 32 teams, they are number one as it sits right now as far as free mm-hmm. agency goes. And then I think the Eagles, I would say probably top five, yeah. somewhere in there. I think the Rams are also probably top five.
Oh, here's one for you. I forgot to mention this. One of your guys that you really wanted is gone.
Who?
Brian Burns.
That sucks.
What did you think about that trade? Some context in case you didn't, you know, see the compensation for the listeners. Panthers traded Brian Burns to the New York Giants for and with a fifth round pick this year, and they got back a second rounder this year and a fifth rounder this year, and then the Giants paid Brian Burns a 5-year deal worth up to $150 million with $76 million guaranteed.
So let me give you a two-part answer. First, I was pissed because I saw what the trade was, and I was like, are you freaking kidding me, Brad Holmes? Get on this. Why did we not do this? And then I saw what they were signing him for, and I was like, yeah, good job, Brad Holmes. You're good. We're good.
No, that contract, if Brian Burns digresses at all, they are stuck in a very deep pit
yep.
with him.
They really, really rolled the dice on their defense, their future defense with that right there.
Yeah. And then staying on the Giants, one other funny thing I want to point out there was
Daniel Jones.
Yes.
I knew it.
Relating to him.
I knew
it. They signed quarterback Drew Locke, and the report came out that the Seahawks really wanted to keep Locke, but the Giants pulled him away because they told him that he would essentially be battling Daniel Jones for that starting quarterback spot.
He will be the starter. There's no question there.
And I've heard reports. I don't remember if this might have been through the Pat McAfee show, so I'm not 100% sure, but I remember hearing people say that the noise coming out of New York or out of Indianapolis during the combine was that the Giants were done with Daniel Jones. Like they were consistently just talking about, you know, how disappointing he's been, and you know, they need to find an answer.
Yeah. Something I'm seeing as I'm scrolling through, as we work this podcast through. What one person we haven't really talked about that's still out there, we're still in need of a wide receiver, wide receiver three. You know what I'm going to say.
I know what you're going to say, and I don't want it.
Okay. OBJ?
Yeah, no.
Mm-mm. Why not?
OBJ is... He's good depth guy.
That's what we're looking for.
But he's gonna want more money than what he's worth.
He wants wide receiver two money, I'm sure. At least wide receiver two money.
And yeah, and I'm not willing to pay him that.
Okay. I just wanted to put that to bed because I started seeing squawks about it, and I just thought we'd touch on it a little bit.
You can put that one in the grave. Only put it to bed.
That is not who I want, but I think that's. I think I'm good with free agency thus far. We're probably gonna have some more to touch on next week, I'm sure. Stuff will start slowing down, but we'll still see some movement.
Yeah, so. The Lions still got moves to make, too, and you'll look at last year. They didn't make all their moves in the first week. This is going to extend multiple months where they're going to sign guys and
bring them
find
in.
Right fits, and as guys realize their market isn't as big as they thought it was, they'll start signing other places for cheaper.
Yeah, and one thing I do want to say that I want to circle back from Mike Costa, the Lions have reportedly said that they want to save between 15 and 20 million for next year. So I don't think they're going to break the bank on anybody is what I'm thinking. So, I'm not saying that that's a for sure, like that's what they said, but reportedly that's what they are trying to do is save money for every single year and roll some money over and also have money for, you know, say we're in the middle of a playoff push and someone gets hurt and you got a free agent out there you can pick up or whatever. So they're being very smart with their money. So
yeah, for sure.
I want to say, man, DJ Reader, like he came in, he had his meeting at like 4 o'clock or something, and at like 5:30, 6 o'clock, I found out that he was signed.
And they weren't letting him. I think the purpose of him being there was to see how his rehab was going. I think they had full intentions of signing him when he walked in the door.
They knew he was a dude from the start.
They just wanted to know how his health was and then see how his demeanor was in person. And then there was no way he was walking out of that building without a contract if it all worked.
Shout out to whoever on Wednesday falsely reported that he was seen at a Checkers in Detroit because that was not true, but thank you for definitely.
There's that meme that people were going crazy with too, was like L'Jarius Sneed spotted at a Detroit airport. And it's just a random guy with his back turned.
I think
drugs.
It looked like DeAndre Hopkins or something. Okay. Yeah. Thank you for making that happen, I guess. Oh gosh. All right, let's move into That Was Random, and they're really not that random this week.
We basically touched on most of them, so
we did. But a couple big ones out of Detroit, in my opinion, big ones, and I think you're gonna agree too. Not super random, but they don't touch on free agency. So Brad and Dan, Brad Holmes and Mr. MCDC have been extended through the 2027 season on their contracts.
Yeah, it's huge.
What are your thoughts on that? I mean, do you think that it needed to happen now? Do you think it was, what was the reason for it? And
I don't know that it needed to happen now, but I was shocked when it came across, not because they got re-signed, but that they did it. And they're essentially, we're already like, don't they still have like another 2 or 3 years on their contract?
I think they were through 26 or something.
So
I think
they just extended them an extra year on top of it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I was a little bit shocked why they did that, but I mean, I'm not going to complain. They've showed that they're capable of leading the team. So.
Yeah, it didn't have to happen right now, but what I almost with those guys and especially Brad, like what I can see is I can see him going up to Sheila and literally having written down like this is my through 2027 plan or whatever. Like I can literally see that dude having like his plan written that far out.
Oh, I'm sure he knows what he wants to do with the team.
But. Yeah, yeah, and I just it was just weird to me that it happened during like free agency signings because like these guys are so busy as it is right now, and it's just funny. It's good for them.
Oh, it's a reward for them.
It's good for Detroit.
And you also said that Chris Spielman also got extended.
Yeah, in the front office. And I don't have a whole lot of info on that. I just saw that he did. It was confirmed that he was extended, and that's another big one for him and a big one for Detroit. Yeah. So.
Well, there's big news coming out. I think the next piece of big news I'm really waiting for is when they're going to announce when their jersey reveal is going to be.
I have a thought on when that'll be.
I have a lot of teams are announcing it, and that's like usually in April sometime.
But. My thought is the draft is in Detroit. I think they have to move a lot of jerseys by then.
They have to do it. Yeah, they have to do it before the draft because they're going to want to hand out the new jersey to the guy that they pick in the first round, assuming they pick there. But
hopefully they can get a lot of jerseys sewn because I think you're going to sell a crap ton of jerseys at that draft for Detroit. So, yeah, we'll see how that shakes out. But that's basically what I have for that was random. We don't have a whole lot of random stuff because people are busy signing and dropping and trading and doing all this other stuff. So.
No, yeah, this was just a big, you know, we just really wanted to touch on all the free agency buzz that was happening.
For sure. And then, there's a lot.
I'm not sure if this will be next week or not. Just we'll have to see if free agency is still buzzing quite a bit. But we'll have to start do our mock draft 3.0 with signings now and know what we're prioritizing a little bit.
Yeah, and honestly, we'll probably base that on if PFF gets everything updated and we can, you know, make picks based on current events. That's a big one, too. We want to make sure that we're not picking stuff that PFF isn't picking guys ahead of us that don't make sense. So we'll definitely do that. Other things that are coming up, guys, definitely we're not taking breaks. We're going to do, you know, fantasy football stuff. We're going to do, obviously, the draft. We're going to look at OTAs. Like, there's going to be plenty of stuff that we're going to keep you guys going with the Lions and the NFL in general. And we don't really plan on taking any breaks. Our football season never stops. We love football and we love the Lions. So definitely tune in every single week and, you know, make sure you follow us on Twitter. And like I said, YouTube is definitely coming really, really soon. We're going to have some TikTok clips and everything. And I think other than that, we're good. And we'll keep you guys updated on X with any moves that happen. And we'll see you next week.
Yeah, sounds good. Go Lions.
Go Lions, baby.